Pirate practice rises from indenture freed. Sprung his arm and keen his senses. He's a pirate now indeed.
Here's good luck to Frederick Ferris, as Frederick's up to his indentures.
22 now he's rising, and alone he's fit to fly, which were bent on signalizing with unusual revelry.
Here's good luck to Frederick's Ferris, Frederick's up to his indentures. For aboard the pirate ship, we fill the pirate glass, and to make us more than merry, let the pirate bark of us.
Yes, Frederick, from today you rank as a full-blown member of our band.
Hurrah!
My friends, I thank you all from my heart for your kindly wishes. Would that I could repay them as they deserve.
What do you mean?
Today I am out of my indentures, and today I leave you forever.
But this is quite unaccountable. A keener hand at scuttling a Cunarder or cutting out a Peardo never shipped a handspike.
Yes, I have done my best for you. And why? It was my duty under my indentures, and I am the slave of duty. As a child, I was regularly apprenticed to your band. It was through an error, no matter. The mistake was ours, not yours, and I was in honor bound by it.
An error? What error?
I may not tell you. It would reflect upon my well-loved Ruth.
Nay, dear master, my mind has long been gnawed by the cankering tooth of mystery. Better have it out at once. When Frederick was a little lad, he proved so brave and daring. His father thought he'd apprentice him to some career seafaring. I was a lassie, his nursery maid, and so it fell to my lot to take and bind a promising boy, a apprentice to a pilot. A life not bad for a hardy lad, though surely not a high lot. Though I'm a nurse, you might do worse than make your boy a pilot. I was a stupid nursery maid on breakers always steering, and I did not catch the word aright through being hard of hearing, mistaking my instructions, which within my brain degenerate. I took and bound his promising boy, a apprentice to a pirate. A sad mistake it was to make and doom him to a pilot. I bound him to a pirate, you, instead of to a pilot. I soon found out beyond all doubt the scope of this disaster, but I hadn't the face to return to my place and break it to my master. A nursery maid is not afraid of what you people call work, so I made up my mind to go as a kind of piratical maid of all work. And that is how you find me now, a member of your Schweinot, which you wouldn't have found had he been bound, apprentice to a pilot. Pardon, Frederick, pardon.
Rise, sweet one. I have long pardoned you.
The two words were so much alike.
They were. They still are, though years have rolled over their heads. But this afternoon, my obligation ceases. Individually, I love you all with affection unspeakable. But collectively, I look upon you with a disgust that amounts to absolute detestation. Oh, pity me, my beloved friends, for such is my sense of duty that, once out of my indentures, I shall feel myself bound to devote myself heart and soul to your extermination.
Poor lad! Poor lad!
Well, Frederick, if you conscientiously feel that it is your duty to destroy us, we cannot blame you for acting on that conviction. Always act in accordance with the dictates of your conscience, my boy, and chance the consequences.
Besides, we can offer you but little temptation to remain with us. We don't seem to make piracy pay. I'm sure I don't know why, but we don't.
I know why, but alas, I mustn't tell you. It wouldn't be right.
Why not, my boy? It's only 11:30, and you are one of us until the clock strikes 12.
True. And until then, you are bound to protect our interests.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, then, it is my duty, as a pirate, to tell you that you are too tender-hearted. For instance, you make a point of never attacking a weaker party than yourselves. And when you attack a stronger party, you invariably get thrashed.
There is some truth in that.
Then again, you make a point of never molesting an orphan.
Of course! We are orphans ourselves, and know what it is.
Yes, but it has got about. And what is the consequence? Everyone we capture says he is an orphan. The last three ships we took proved to be manned entirely by orphans, and so we had to let them go. One would think that Great Britain's mercantile navy was recruited solely from her orphan asylums, which we know is not the case.
But hang it all, you wouldn't have us absolutely merciless.
There's my difficulty. Until 12 o'clock, I would. After 12, I wouldn't. Was ever a man placed in so delicate a situation?
And Ruth, your own Ruth, whom you love so well and who has won her middle-aged way into your boyish heart, what is to become of her?
Oh, he will take you with him.
Well, Ruth, I feel some little difficulty about you. It is true that I admire you very much, but I have been constantly at sea since I was 8 years old. And yours is the only woman's face I have seen during that time. I think it is a sweet face.
It is. Oh, it is.
I say, I think it is. That is my impression. But as I have never had an opportunity of comparing you with other women, it is just possible I may be mistaken.
True.
What a terrible thing it would be if I were to marry this innocent person and then find out that she is, on the whole, plain.
Oh, Ruth is very well indeed.
Oh, yes, there are the remains of a fine woman about Ruth.
Do you really think so?
I do.
Then I will not be so selfish as to take her from you. In justice to her, and in consideration for you, I will leave her behind.
No, Frederick, this must not be. We are rough men who lead a rough life, but we are not so utterly heartless as to deprive thee of thy love. I think I am right in saying that there is not one here who would rob thee of this inestimable treasure for all the world holds dear.
Not one!
No, I thought there wasn't. Keep thy love, Frederick. Keep thy love.
You're very good, I'm sure.
Well, it's the top of the tide and we must be off. Farewell, Frederick. When your process of extermination begins, let our deaths be as swift and painless as you can conveniently make them.
I will! By the love I have for you, I swear it. Would that you could render this extermination unnecessary by accompanying me back to civilization.
No, Frederick, it cannot be. I don't think much of our profession, but contrasted with respectability, it is comparatively honest. No, Frederick, I shall live and die a pirate king.
Oh, better far to live and die under the brave black flag I fly than play your sanctimonious part with a pirate head and a pirate heart. Away to the cheating world to go ill, where pirates all are well-to-do, but I'll be true to the song I sing and live and die a pirate king. For I am a pirate king. And it is a glorious thing to be a pirate king, for I am a pirate king. And it is a glorious thing to be a pirate king.
It is to love the pirate king, to love the pirate king.
I sally forth to seek my prey. I help myself in a royal way. I sink a few more ships, it's true, than a well-bred monarch ought to do. But many a king on a first-class throne, if he
wants to call his crown his own must manage somehow to get through more dirty work than ever I do. For I am a pirate king, and it is a glorious thing to be a pirate king. For I am a pirate king. It is a glorious thing to be a pirate king.
It is for love of the pirate king, for love of the pirate king.
Oh, take me with you. I cannot live if I am left behind.
Ruth, I will be quite candid with you. You are very dear to me, as you know, but I must be circumspect. You see, you are considerably older than I. A lad of 21 usually looks for a wife of 17.
A wife of 17? You will find me a wife of 1,000.
No, but I shall find you a wife of 47, and that is quite enough. Ruth, tell me candidly and without reserve, compared with other women, how are you?
I will answer you truthfully, Master. I have a slight cold, but otherwise I am quite well.
I'm sorry for your cold, but I was referring rather to your personal appearance. Compared with other women, are you beautiful?
I have been told so, dear Master.
Ah, but lately?
No, years and years ago.
What do you think of yourself?
It is a delicate question to answer, but I think I am a fine woman.
That is your candid opinion?
Yes. I should be deceiving you if I told you otherwise.
Thank you, Ruth. I believe you, for I'm sure you would not practice on my inexperience. I wish to do the right thing, and if you are really a fine woman, your age shall be no obstacle to our union. Hark! Surely I hear voices. Who has ventured to approach our all but inaccessible lair? Can it be Custom House? No, it does not sound like Custom House.
Confusion! It is the voices of young girls. If he should see them, I am lost.
By all that's marvelous, a bevy of beautiful maidens.
Lost!
How
lost.
Lovely! How surpassingly lovely is the plainest of them. What grace! What delicacy! What refinement! And Ruth told me she was beautiful.
False one, you have deceived me.
I have deceived you.
Yes, deceived me. You told me you were fair as gold.
And Master, am I not so?
And now I see you're plain and old.
I'm sure I'm not a jot so.
Upon my innocence you play.
I'm not the one to plot so.
Your face is lined, your hair is gray.
It's gradually got so.
Faithless woman to deceive me, I who trusted so.
Master, do not leave me, heed me ere you go.
Faithless woman,
Master,
faithless woman,
Master,
faithless
do
woman,
not leave me,
do not leave me, me.
I
who
Crash me with disaster. Costume. No, no, I must remain in close concealment until I can appear in decent clothing.
Presently. Remember, poor Papa, he's not as young as we are, and we came over a rather difficult country.
But how thoroughly delightful it is to be so entirely alone. Why, in all probability, we are the first human beings who ever set foot on this enchanting spot.
Except the mermaids. It's the very place for mermaids.
Who are only human beings down to the waist,
and who can't be said strictly to set foot anywhere. Tails they may, but feet they cannot.
But what shall we do until Papa and the servants arrive with the luncheon?
We are quite alone, and the sea is as smooth as glass. Suppose we take off our shoes and stockings and paddle!
Yes, Daisy!
Stop, ladies, pray! I had intended not to intrude myself upon your notice in this effective but alarming costume. But under these peculiar circumstances, it is my bounden duty to inform you that your proceedings will not be unwitnessed.
But who are you, Sir Speaker?
I am a pirate.
A pirate?
Ladies, do not shun me. This evening I renounce my vile profession. And to that end, O pure and peerless maidens, O blushing buds of ever-blooming beauty, I sore at heart, implore your kind assistance.
How pitiful his tale!
Thank you. beautiful in blue, the Santa Claus is shining very high. For children fun, I hope they play, and yet it rains again today. Tomorrow it may pour again, I hear the country wants a friend. People say, I know not why the fish will come, and won't you have tomorrow it may pour again.
Did ever pirate throw his soul in guilty dreaming, and wake to find the soul with peace and virtue beaming?
How beautifully blue the sky, the glass is rising very high. Continue fine, I hope it may, and yet it rained but yesterday. Continue fine, I hope it may, and yet it rained but yesterday.
Senses, men who think it no offences will anon be here. Piracy, that dreadful trade is. Pray you get you hence, young ladies, while the coast is clear.
No, we must not lose our senses. If they think it no offences, we should not be here. Piracy, that dreadful trade is. Nice and pirates full of ladies. Let us
A glorious thing to be a major general.
It is hurrah for the major general, hurrah for the major general.
Major General, I've information, vegetable, animal, and mineral. I know the kings of England and I quote the fights historical. From Marathon to Waterloo, in order categorical. I'm very well acquainted too with matters mathematical. I understand equations both the simple and quadratical. A Papa Noah theorem, I'm teeming with a lot of news. Lot of news. With many cheerful facts about the square of the hypotenuse.
With many cheerful facts about the square of the hypotenuse. With many cheerful facts about the square of the hypotenuse. Many cheerful facts about the square of the hypotenuse.
I'm very good at integral and differential calculus. I know the scientific names of beings and homunculus. He's shorty man is vegetable, animal, and mineral. I am the very model of a modern major general.
He's shorty man is vegetable, animal, and mineral. I am the very
I know I'm mythic, historic, king, Arthur, sense of paradox. I answer hard to crossing cyber, pretty taste for paradox. I quote in elegiacs all the crimes of Heliogapolis. In chronics, I can throw peculiarities for Rabelais. I can tell I'm Dante Raphael's from Jared down the Sophonies. I know the croaking chorus from the frogs of Aristophanes. Then I can hum a fugue of which I've heard the music's dinner for.
Dinner for? Of course.
And whistle all the airs from that infernal nonsense dinner for.
And whistle all the airs from that infernal nonsense dinner for. And whistle all the airs from that infernal nonsense dinner for. And whistle all the airs from that infernal nonsense dinner for.
Then I can write fighter washing bill in Babylonic uniform and tell you every detail of Caractacus' uniform. In short, he meant a vegetable, animal, and mineral. I am the very model of a model major general. In fact, when I know what is meant by mammalon and rabbelin, when I can tell at sight a Mauser rifle from a javelin, when such affairs are sorties and surprises I'm more wary at, and when I know precisely what is meant by commissariat, when I have learnt what progress has been made in modern gunnery, when I know more of tactics than a novice in a nunnery, in short, when I've a smattering of elemental strategy.
Oh, yes, strategy. Strategy? Metagy? Retagy?
Ah, I have it! You'll say a better major general has never sat at ease.
You'll say a better major general has never sat at ease. You'll say a better major general has never sat at ease. You'll say a better major general has never sat at ease.
For my military knowledge, though I'm plucky and adventury, has only been brought down to the beginning of the century. But still, in matters vegetable, animal, and mineral, I am the very model of a model major general. And now that I've introduced myself, I should like to have some idea of what's going on.
Oh, Papa, we...
Oh, permit me. I'll explain in two words. We propose to marry your daughter.
Dear me.
Against our wills, Papa. Against our wills.
Oh, but you mustn't do that. May I ask, this is a picturesque uniform, but I'm not familiar with it. What are you?
We are all single gentlemen.
Yes, I gathered that. Anything else?
No, nothing else.
Papa, don't believe them. They are pirates. The famous pirates of Penzance.
The pirates of Penzance? I have often heard of them.
All except this gentleman, who was a pirate once, but who is out of his indentures today, and who means to lead a blameless life evermore.
But wait a bit. I object to pirates as sons-in-law.
We object to major generals as fathers-in-law. But we waive that point. We do not press it. We look over it.
Ah, an idea. And you mean to say that you would deliberately rob me of these, the sole remaining props of my old age, and leave me to go through the remainder of my life unfriended, unprotected, and alone?
Well, yes, that's the idea.
Tell me, have you ever known what it is to be an orphan?
Oh,
Clashing Hall! Here we are again.
I ask you, have you ever known what it is to be an orphan?
Orphan?
Yes, orphan! Have you ever known what it is to be one?
I say, orphan.
Orphan? Orphan? Orphan!
I don't think we quite understand one another. I ask you, have you ever known what it is to be an orphan? And you say orphan. As I understand you, you are merely repeating the word orphan to show that you understand me.
I didn't repeat the word orphan.
Pardon me, you did indeed.
I only repeated it once.
True, but you repeated it.
But not orphan.
Stop! I think I see where we are getting confused. When you said orphan, did you mean orphan, a person who has lost his parents? Or orphan frequently?
Oh, I beg pardon. I see what you mean. Frequently.
Ah, you said orphan frequently.
No, only once.
Exactly, you said orphan frequently only once.
Oh, men of dark and dismal fate, forgo your cruel employ. Pity on my lonely state, I am an orphan boy.
An orphan boy.
An orphan boy.
How sad, an orphan boy.
These children whom you see are all that I can call my own.
Poor fellow.
Take them away from me, and and I shall be indeed alone.
Poor fellow!
If pity you can feel, leave me my sole remaining joy. See at your feet they kneel, your hearts you cannot steal, against the sad, sad tale of the lonely young boy.
Poor fellow, see that heart we may kneel, our hearts we cannot steal, against the sad, sad tale of the lonely orphan boy,
the orphan boy, the orphan.
They kneel, our hearts we cannot steal, against the tale of the lonely. Oh, 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 and boy.
Poor fellow.
Telling a terrible story, but it doesn't diminish my glory, for they would have taken my daughters over the billowy waters. If I hadn't been elegant diction, indulged in an innocent fiction, which is not in the same category as telling a wretched and terrible story.
He was telling a terrible story, we shall try to get at his glory, as one of the cruelest waters has never had billowy waters. It is easy in elegant diction to call it an innocent fiction, but it comes in the same category as telling a regular terrible story. It's easy in elegant diction to call it an innocent fiction, but it comes in the same category as telling a regular story.
Although our dark career sometimes involves the crime of stealing, we rather think that we are not altogether void of feeling. Although we live by strife,
they will
Away, you did deceive me.
Away, you did deceive me.
Oh, do not leave me.
Oh, do not leave her.
Away, you grieve me.
Away, you grieve him.
I wish you should leave me.
We wish you'd leave him.
Excellence of your wisdom, reconcile it with your conscience to say something that will relieve my father's sorrow.
I will try, dear Mabel, but why does he sit night after night in this draughty old ruin?
Why do I sit here?
To escape from the pirate's clutches, I describe myself as an orphan. And heaven help me, I am no orphan. I come here to humble myself before the tombs of my ancestors and to implore their pardon for having brought dishonor on the family escutcheon.
But you forget, sir, you only bought the property a year ago, and the stucco in your baronial hall is scarcely dry.
Frederick, in this chapel are ancestors. You cannot deny that. With the estate, I bought the chapel and its contents. I don't know whose ancestors they were, but I know whose ancestors they are. And I shudder to think that their descendant by purchase, if I may so describe myself, should have brought disgrace upon what I have no doubt was an unstained escutcheon.
Be comforted. Had you not acted as you did, these reckless men would assuredly have called in the nearest clergyman and have married your large family on the spot.
I thank you for your proffered solace, but it is unavailing. I assure you, Frederick, that such is the anguish and remorse I feel at the abominable falsehood by which I escaped these easily deluded pirates, that I would go to their simple-minded chief this very night and confess all, did I not fear that the consequences would be most disastrous to myself. At what time does your expedition march against these scoundrels?
At 11, and before midnight I hope to have atoned for my involuntary association with the pestilent scourges by sweeping them from the face of the earth. And then, dear Mabel, you will be mine.
Are your devoted followers at hand?
They are. They only wait my orders.
Then, Frederick, let your escort lion-hearted be summoned to receive a general's blessing ere they depart upon their dread adventure.
Dear sir, they come.
Foaming bears his steel,
tarantara, tarantara.
We uncomfortable feel,
tarantara.
And we find the wisest thing,
tarantara, tarantara,
is to slap our chests and sing,
tarantara.
For when threatened with the mutes,
tarantara, tarantara,
and your heart is in your butes,
tarantara,
there is nothing brings it round like the trumpet's martial sound, like the trumpet's martial sound.
Tarantara, 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 tarantara.
Attentions are well meant,
tarantara.
Such expressions don't appear,
tarantara, tarantara.
Calculated men to cheer,
tarantara.
Who are going to meet their fate
in a highly nervous state,
tarantara, tarantara, tarantara.
Still to us it's evident these attentions are well meant,
tarantara, tarantara, tarantara.
Go and do your best endeavor, and before all things we sever, we will say farewell forever. Go to glory and pray.
Go to glory and pray.
The weather falls on fields and moonless bones and birds of all and fruit of the darkies and the horn and fruit of all in vain and mercy pray.
We observe to greater stress on the wrists that on us press, and of reference alike
to a chance of coming back. Still, perhaps it would be wise not to carp or criticize, for it's very evident these attentions are well meant.
Yes, it's very evident these attentions are well meant. Evident, yes, well meant. Evident, ah, yes, well meant. When the vocal bass is
of theft and pillage, which at a sense of duty's stern dictation, I, circumstances' victim, have been guilty.
Young Frederick,
who called
your late commander,
and I, your little Ruth,
oh mad intruders, how dare ye face me? Know ye not, O rash ones, that I have doomed you to extermination?
Have mercy on us. Hear us ere you slaughter.
I do not think I ought to listen to you. Yet mercy should alloy us than resentment. And so I will be merciful. Say on.
When you had left the pilot fold, we tried to raise our spirits faint, according to our custom old, with quip and quib and quaint. But all in vain the quips we heard. We lay and sobbed upon the rocks, until to somebody occurred a startling paradox.
A paradox.
A paradox, a most ingenious paradox. We quips and quibbles heard in flocks, but none to beat this paradox.
A paradox, a most ingenious paradox. This paradox.
We knew your taste for curious quips, for cranks and contradictions queer, and with the laughter on our lips, we wished you there to hear. We said if we could tell it him, how Frederick would the joke enjoy. And so we've risked both life and limb to tell it to our boy.
That paradox,
that paradox, that most ingenious paradox. We've quips and quibbles heard in floss, but none to beat that paradox.
A paradox, a paradox, a most ingenious paradox. That paradox.
Ridiculous reason, to which, however, I've no desire to be disloyal.
Some person in authority, I don't know who, very likely the astronomer royal, has decided that although for such a beastly month as February, 28 days as a rule are plenty, 1 year in every 4, his days shall be reckoned as 29. Through some singular coincidence, I shouldn't be surprised if it were owing to the agency of an ill-natured fairy. You are the victim of this clumsy arrangement, having been born in leap year on the 29th of February. And so, by a simple arithmetical process, you'll easily discover that though you've lived 21 years, yet if we go by birthdays, you're only 5 and a little bit over.
Dear me, let's see. Yes, yes, with yours my figures do agree. How quaint the ways of paradox. At common sense she gaily mocks. Though counting in the usual way, yet 21 I've been alive. Yet reckoning by my natal day, yet reckoning by my natal day, 1, 2, 3, 4. I am a little boy of 5.
He is a little boy of 5.
A paradox, a paradox, a most ingenious paradox.
Upon my word, this is most curious, most absurdly whimsical. 5 1/4. No one would think it to look at me.
You are glad now, I'll be bound, that you spared us. You would never have forgiven yourself when you discovered that you had killed 2 of your comrades.
My comrades?
I'm afraid you don't appreciate the delicacy of your position. You were apprenticed to us.
Until I reached my 21st year.
No, until you reached your 21st birthday. And going by birthdays, you are as yet only 5 1/4.
You don't mean to say you are going to hold me to that?
No, we merely remind you of the fact and leave the rest to your sense of duty.
Your sense of duty?
Oh, don't put it on that footing. As I was merciful to you just now, be merciful to me. I implore you not to insist on the letter of your bond, just as the cup of happiness is at my lips.
We insist on nothing. We content ourselves with pointing out to you your duty.
Your duty?
Well, you have appealed to my sense of duty, and my duty is only too clear. I abhor your infamous calling. I shudder at the thought that I have ever been mixed up with it. But duty is before all. At any price, I will do my duty.
Bravely spoken. Come, you are one of us once more.
Lead on. I follow. Oh, horror.
What is the matter?
Ought I to tell you? No, no. I cannot do it. And yet, as one of your band...
Speak out, I charge you, by that sense of conscientiousness to which we have never yet appealed in vain.
General Stanley, the father of my Mabel...
Yes,
he escaped from you on the plea that he was an orphan.
He did.
It breaks my heart to betray the honored father of the girl I adore, but as your apprentice, I have no alternative. It is my duty to tell you that General Stanley is no orphan.
What?
More than that, he never was one.
Am I to understand that to save his contemptible life, he dared to practice on our credulous simplicity? Our revenge shall be swift and terrible. We will go and collect our band and attack Tremorden Castle this very night.
But stay!
Not a word! He is doomed!
away, away. My heart's on fire, I burn this base deception to repay. This very night, my vengeance dire shall glut itself and go away, away.
Away, away, ere I expire, I find my duty hard to do today. My heart is filled with anguish dire, it strikes me to the core, away, away.
With force or doubt, he tricked us of our might. Vengeance how the pirates all decide. Our nature stern he softened with his lies, and in return tonight the traitor dies.
Yes, yes, tonight the traitor dies. Yes, yes, tonight the traitor dies.
Tonight he dies.
Yes, already tomorrow his girls likewise.
They will wait up in sorrow.
A world's a sport.
In the nature's a cherish.
And all who plot to abuse it shall perish.
Tonight he dies, it's already tomorrow. His girls likewise, they will wait up in sorrow. A world's a sport in the nature's a cherish. And all who plot to abuse it shall perish. Away, away, away. Tonight the traitor dies. Away, away, tonight.
Just been made. Mabel, my dearly loved one, I bound myself to serve the pirate captain until I reach my 21st birthday.
But you are 21.
I've just discovered that I was born in leap year, and that birthday will not be reached by me till 1940.
Oh, horrible! Catastrophe appalling!
And so these walls, the thought my soul appalls, but when stern duty calls, I must obey.
Stay, free, big stay.
Nay, Mabel, nay.
They have no claim.
Of duty's name, the thought my soul appalls, but when stern duty calls,
stay, free, big stay.
I must obey.
To final law and death.
1940 I of age shall be. I'll then return and claim you, I declare it.
It seems so long.
Swear that till then you will be true to me.
Yes, I'll be strong. Viola Stanley's dead and gone. I say.
That's behind. Yet when the danger's near, we manage to appear as insensible to fear as anybody here, as anybody here.
Sergeant, approach. Young Frederick was to have led you to death and glory.
That is not a pleasant way of putting it.
No matter. He will not so lead you, for he has allied himself once more with his old associates.
He has acted shamefully.
You speak falsely. You know nothing about it. He has acted nobly.
He has acted nobly.
Dearly as I loved him before, his heroic sacrifice to his sense of duty has endeared him to me tenfold. He has done his duty. I will do mine. Go ye and do yours.
Right home.
This is perplexing.
We cannot understand it at all.
Still, as he is actuated by a sense of duty.
That makes a difference, of course. At the same time, we repeat, we cannot understand it at all.
No matter, our course is clear. We must do our best to capture these pirates alone. It is most distressing to us to be the agents whereby our erring fellow creatures are deprived of that liberty which is so dear to all. But we should have thought of that before we joined the force.
We should.
It is too late now. Where when a felon's not engaged in his employment, or maturing his felonious little plans, his capacity for innocent enjoyment, is just as great as any honest man. Our feelings we with difficulty smother, when constabulary duties to be done. Partake one consideration with another. A policeman's lot is not a happy one. When constabulary duties to be done, a policeman's lot is not a happy one. When the enterprising burglar's not a burglar. When the cutthroat isn't occupied in crime. He loves to hear the little brook a-gurgling. And listen to the merry village chime. When the cost has finished jumping on his mother. He loves to lie a-basking in the sun. I'll take one consideration with another. A policeman's lot is not a nappy one. Constabulary duties to be done. A policeman's lot is not a happy one. Hush, hush, I hear them on the manor approaching. With stealthy steps the pirates are approaching.
We are not coming for play, but all the story, General Stanley told. We seek a penalty 54 for General Stanley's story.
They seek a penalty
54, we seek a penalty
54. They seek a penalty 54 for General Stanley's story.
They come in force with stealthy stride. Our obvious course is now to hide.
So stealthily the pirate creeps while all the house so soundly sleeps.
Come friends, down the sea, trust the navigation, take another station. Let's ferry by the sea, with the little burden.
Here's your crowbar and your center bit, your life preserver.
You may want to hit.
Your silent matches, your dark lantern seize, take your file and go.
skeletonic key.
Ta-da-da-da!
That's my trick!
Ta-da-da-da!
That's my trick!
Upon the prey we steal, in silent dread, a cautious way we feel. No sound at all, we never speak a word. A fly's foot all would be distinctly heard.
Run, friends, rather say, trust the navigation, take them out the station.
I see a light inside. The Major General comes, so quickly hide.
Yes, yes, the Major General comes.
Yes, yes, the Major General comes.
Yes, yes, the Major General comes. Tormented with the anguished dread of falsehood unatoned, I lay upon my sleepless bed and tossed and turned and groaned. The man who finds his conscience ache, no peace at all enjoys. And as I lay in bed awake, I thought I heard a noise.
He thought he heard a noise.
Ha ha!
No, all is still in dale on hill. My mind is set at ease. So still the scene, it must have been the sighing of the breeze. Softly to the river comes the loving breeze, setting nature all a quiver, rustling through the trees.
Through the trees.
And the brook in rippling measure laughs for very love, poplars in their pleasure wave their arms above.
Bless the trees for very love, wave their leafy arms above. River, river, little river, may thy loving prosper birth. Ever speed thee poplar tree.
Dream is over, for thy love is but a rose.
Summon your men and effect their capture.
Frederick, save us!
Beautiful Mabel, I would if I could, but I am not able.
He's telling the truth, he is not able.
With base deceit, you worked upon our feelings. Revenge is sweet and favors all our dealings. With courage rare and resolution manly, for death prepare, unhappy General Stanley.
Is he to die a triple enemy?
What's failing
him? Will no one in his cause a weapon win?
What's failing him?
Yes, we are here, for hither to conceal.
You've contrived, but your triumph will not be long-lived. Don't say you're orphans, for we know that game. On your allegiance we've a strong claim. We charge you, yield. We charge you, yield. In Queen Victoria's name. You do.
We do. We charge you here in Queen Victoria's name.
We yield at once with heart.
They are all noblemen who have gone. statement hears. Because with all our faults, we love a house of tears. I pray you pardon me, expirate king. Peers will be peers, and youth will have its fling. Resume your ranks and legislative duties, and take my daughters, all of whom are beauties.
Oh, wandering ones, we have surely strayed. Take our grace, our steps to trace.
Take up.